Well, good morning to you. Yeah, and it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Thank the Lord for those who listen in by the way of internet. You know, next year at Jubilee, I think we're going to have to do something different. I had to start off Jubilee with a Sunday school lesson. And now, here I am, the first one after Jubilee. y'all think on that a little bit now. But anyway, Jubilee certainly was good to us. I tell you, Lord really used it. I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I thank him. I thank him for it. This morning, it's going to be just some general scriptures they want us to look at. Some food for thought this morning, something for you to think about and ponder. Maybe to make some of us open this book a little bit more than maybe we have been. And look and search for some things and see how the Lord would lead us to look at it and think on it. So, but bow with us in just a word of prayer, and then we'll turn to Matthew, this chapter number 22, and then we'll start from there, and it'll be from there to 1 John, and then Isaiah, and back to Genesis, and all over. So, Lord, we thank you again for an opportunity to open your precious word and study it in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, how sweet it is. How tasty it is in our spiritual life as we read and study your precious word. How comfort it is, how filling it is. And Lord, the closest that we can feel as we study and read your precious word. And Lord, I ask you today now by the work of the Holy Spirit that you would walk us through these verses that we look at today, that you would open our minds and our hearts that we might have understanding. Lord, we'll never know and understand all about your precious word, but it sure is sweet when you feed us those meals as we study day by day. Spiritual food that carries us on this last journey. Lord, we would commit ourselves to you today and ask that you use us to bring glory and honor to your precious name. May through it all we be humble and you be exalted, because you are the one only great God of all creation. Bless each one who's present. Lord, those who have special needs, we ask that you would touch in a special way. But help us to keep our minds and our hearts focused on you, that we might enjoy, the traveling through this world with you. Bless now as we gather, as only you can. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Matthew 22nd chapter. Now, we're going to look at a couple of three verses. And then we're going to go back into Old Testament scriptures. But in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and verse number 36, it says, Master, this is when Christ naturally was doing his earthly ministry, which is the greater commandment in the law. And I want you to notice the response that Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, and what is the greatest commandment? Who is saying this? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. So what is the greatest commandment from God to you and I? That we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our minds. Now, flip over to 1 John. We studied last Sunday and we were looking at those events that took place in the creation of man, the Garden of Eden. And as he gave Adam a wife called Eve, and said they become one flesh, and said they'll leave their father and mother and become one flesh. Well, Adam and Eve did not have a father and mother created by God. So we know that he's looking at future, because that's what we do. We left our fathers and our mothers, and we cleaved to our wife, and we became one flesh. So in that we know that God's plan, we can see God's plan already in motion. But in 1 John, remember now, we've just said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy might. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis, and it's important that you think about the verse that we're fixing to read in 1 John, in chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? God is light. Okay? And in him there is what? No darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in Proverbs, I want you to look with me over in the book of Proverbs for just a moment. In the 4th chapter. And verse number 19. Now, we've just looked at in God there is no darkness. In Christ there is no darkness at all. And then in Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. So a lost man is walking in what? In darkness. The way, he says, of the wicked is darkness. Men love what better than light? Men love darkness better than light. I want you to just keep those thoughts in mind. Now, I want you to go to a familiar passage in John, the book of John 3:16. Probably won't have to turn there. Probably can know it. Most everybody, if nothing, probably the most recognizable verse in all the scriptures, both by saved and unsaved. But now I want you to listen for just a moment. For God did what? So loved. For God so loved. Now we have just read the first commandment is to do what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy mind. Now, it says here, if we do that, where are we going to obtain our love? Who is love? God is love. And here he expresses his love to all mankind, because he said, God so loved the what? That does not say just the United States of America, does it? That says this whole continent, the whole world. God loves every person that's ever been born on the face of this earth. His love is present for them. Now, he said he so loved the world that he did what? He gave something. What did he give? The most precious gift he's ever had. Think on that for just a minute. The most precious gift. He said, this is my beloved son, and it's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But even though this is my one and only begotten son, and remember, he's made that statement many times. Remember at the baptism of Christ. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But he says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give him to the world. We're talking about God's plan, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God had a plan. In Genesis 1, when he said, in the beginning, God had a plan. In the beginning. It didn't start here in John. It didn't start in New Testament. It started way back in the beginning. Now, I want us to look at some things this morning as we think on that. Questions that we want to ask this morning. Would you have done it like God done it? Not hardly. I dare say there's not a one of us in here that have children that we give one of our children for a sinful world. Would you take your child and let your child be killed so everybody in the prison system in the United States of America would walk out free? Not hardly. You just think about what kind of love God had for us. Because we were all sinners. Every one of us deserved hell. In fact, the business, every one of us still deserve hell. But by his grace and mercy, we're not going there if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Most precious gift ever given to mankind. And they turn their nose up at it. Don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about it. I don't have any, won't have anything to do with it. And I was not going to go this deep in this when we started, and many of you have already heard me talk about this, but I can't get away from it. So the only thing I'm going to do is dive in. So we're going to Isaiah. And we're going to look at some things. We'll look at Ezekiel also, the 28th chapter, if you want to fold that down and find it. It might be a little bit harder to find than some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at today. But had you ever thought about, let me throw this out at you. When God created man, and we'll look at this in just a moment, he said he planted a garden eastward in Eden. Why? Think about this. He has just made this world again fit for man to live in. And every day as he did his work, at the last verse in every one of those events that he did, he said, and it was what? Good. So if everything that he has done is good, and he comes and he forms man and breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, the creative part of man, and he becomes a living soul, why is it necessary for him to plant a garden to put that man in? Why is he going to put him in a special place to live on this earth that he had just formed for man to live in? I don't quite have an answer for that myself. But I know one thing. In the process, there's a heaven for his children to live in. And it's a special place. That's the only thing that came in my mind there. But there's another thing that comes to mind too, that we're going to look at in a few minutes. And I want you all to think about it, but I want you to look at this first now. We got to figure out how all this, let's just look at some of God's plans. Let's look at some things that happened this morning according to God's word. And see if we can get just a little glimpse of why he did things like he did it. Now, in Isaiah 14th chapter, and y'all have heard this before, 14th chapter, verse number 12, how thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will, and there's a lot of I wills here. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. That's an important, my throne, above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, all his I wills got him where? He says, yet thou shalt be brought down to what? To hell, to the sides of the pit. I'm going to do. In fact, I'm going to be greater than the Most High God. I'm going to exalt myself above him. He done got high-minded. God said, no. I'm going to bring you down to the pits of hell. That's where you're going to go. But it talks about a throne in here. It talks about his power. Where did he get his power from? Who's responsible for Lucifer being president anyway? Who created everything? God created everything. Lucifer was an angel. He was a morning star angel. One of three angels mentioned by name in God's word. He was a special angel of God. I'll never forget going to Lancaster. And I don't know why they do not every year put on the creation. It's the best one that I've ever seen. And those of you who have been to Lancaster, and many of you have because you've been with the church group, and you sit down and you know, it's like they got stages all over the place. And they start over here on the side and they go all the way down to the front. Well, Rance and I are sitting there and you know, you're concentrating on those things that are taking place on the front. And God was in the process of forming Adam from the dust of the ground. How they do what they do is amazing to me. But, you know, they just a little mound of dirt there, and they're going to fix him to be a man come out of that thing. And as God was doing the work to create Adam, on the stage on the left, I wonder how they put it on the left side instead of the right side. On the stage on the left is Lucifer. And he's got his little angel group. You know, Lucifer's not the only one that fell, you know. He carried a bunch of angels with him. Now they're demons. You know, he's the devil and they're demons. But they're sitting over here and they're up high, you know, like up near, like near, almost as high as that ceiling is. And he was sitting up with his angels. What does he think he's doing? He said, I'm paraphrase now, okay? I'm the king bee of God's creation. I'm not going to put up with this. I'm it. God created me. I'm Lucifer. And it's like, he's put these things in my hands. He's given me charge over these things. And I'm not going to put up with that man coming and trying to be more important to God than I am. I mean, boy, they was having a field up there. Well, what happened? We know what happened. But have you ever thought about this? After God created man and woman and put them in the Garden of Eden, both together, why don't you see anything about where Lucifer come from? Why didn't he say something about he come out of a bush somewhere? You know why you don't see anything about Lucifer during this whole time from verse number 2 in the book of Genesis? You don't see anything about Lucifer because Lucifer was already here. And Lucifer is in verse number 2. And in verse number 2 tells you what God did to Lucifer's little garden. You remember when God created Adam and Eve and he put them in the garden and he told them to do what? To dress it and to keep it. Everything you need is here. You just dress and keep this garden. It was a heaven on earth. He would not have had to work by the sweat of his brow for it, worry about briars and vines and thistles. I'm going to talk to him a whole lot when we get to heaven. He calls us to work mighty hard, I'll tell you that. But you know, you don't see. All of a sudden, God says, well, Satan comes in the picture because he was already here. Now, this is what I think. Remember, I've said this is what I think. You study God's word and you let the Holy Spirit lead you. But see, when God created in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he created the earth, he put Lucifer, the morning star angel, as an overseer of the earth. Just like he put Adam as an overseer to the Garden of Eden. And we have seen now in the book of Isaiah where he got high-headed and high-minded and pride. You know, pride gets a lot of us in a whole lot of trouble, don't it? And that's the reason in verse number 2 you see. And it says, and the world was without form and darkness, void and without form and in darkness. Who is Satan? He's the prince and the power of darkness. It was just a ball in water in total darkness. Because God says, let me show you who you're dealing with, Buddy Rowe. And if you think your throne, that's the reason I think his throne was what God had put him to oversee. He thought it was his and not God. And he said, I'm going to exalt it above the Most High God. God said, let me show you who you're talking to. He says, zap. How do you like that throne, brother? And he put it in void and in darkness without form. And he says, you sit down there in the water and look after that. You say you're crazy. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 45 and let's see. I don't care if you call me crazy, you just look at God's word and form your own opinion. No, you better let the Holy Spirit lead you to form an opinion. So now, what do we see? We see this in Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 18. He said, for thus saith the Lord. Who said this? He said, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. That did what? He created the heavens. God himself that did what? That formed the earth and made it. That chair you're sitting in was made and formed from something that already existed. And he says, I have formed it, I have made it. And he says, he established it. He did what? He established it. He established it according to his plan. Remember when we look at it for him, he said, had a filament above the earth, so we got to have oxygen. So he put it there. There's a layer, but you get too high and it runs out. He knew what he was doing. Then we see as we go on and look where he formed the seas and all those things. He established it. He brought it back so it could be inhabited. By who? By mankind. Look at the rest of it. He created it not in vain. Now you tell me that when you look at verse number 2 and it says it was void without form, is that the way it was created? No. God's a perfect God. He don't create things void without form and in darkness. He said he created it not in vain. He said he formed it for a reason. He had a plan. What did he form it for? To be inhabited. To be inhabited by who? By all man and all those things that we see that walk around on this earth that we live in. Mosquitoes was a part of it too. Why? Why do we have those bad things too? We'll get there in a minute. He said, I am God and there is none else. So if you've got a problem with that, you take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. Okay? So now we've got it back to where it can be inhabited by man. And God's done all the forming of it. But then he creates man. And he plants a garden, a special place for him. We're getting there. Before I leave this, I'm going to read something else for you. In Isaiah, you're there, so let's stay. I want you to back up chapter, verse number 1 in 45. What is the first four words in chapter number 45 in verse number 5? I am God. the Lord. And there is none else. There is no God besides who? Me. Okay. Jesus, thou not know me. Now I want you to look at verse number 7. I formed the light. Now in Genesis 2, when the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep, what's the first thing in verse number 3 that God brought forth? Light. I am the light. Okay? He says, I form the light and did what? Created darkness. Wait a minute. Now, what did I read to you, verses that I read to you when we started this? In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, what did I read to you? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Well, wait a minute. He said, I formed the light. We said he did what in those first few verses of the book of Genesis? Creation is in verse number 1, forming comes from there on. He said, I formed the light and I created darkness. Well, if there is no darkness in him, how does he create darkness? Why do we have darkness? It gets a little deeper now. I make peace. Boy, I can relate to that. If you know Christ, you can relate to that too. And create what? Evil. Does that sound a lot to God we think about? I, the Lord, do all these things. All right, now, it says he creates evil. Let that soak in a little bit now. What is he referring to here when he says this? Keep that, I want you to keep that thought in mind, okay? Look at verse number 12. He said, I have made the earth and done what? He said, I've created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host have I what? Commanded. All right, now who's in charge? It says, I've done all this, and let me remind you that I'm in charge and I've got a plan. Now we look at this and we said he created evil. Let me ask you a question. What are we referring to when he said, I created evil? When you look at Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2, and you look at the way the world is when he said that it's void without form and in darkness, what brought that on? Why is it like that? Then we go and we look at Adam and Eve, and we have another example, and we'll look at that in a little bit. Won't today because it's 10:40. But, here's the buts. But something brought this on in verse number 2. And sin is the thing that brought it on. And God does what to sin? Judgment comes as a result of what? As a result of sin. And that brings forth judgment. And guess what? Is judgment good or is judgment evil? And when God says in Isaiah that I created evil, he's talking about the fact that he's brought judgment. And judgment brings on evil. Let me ask you a question. I got 3 minutes. Ask you a question. Is cancer good or bad? I believe we could say that's evil, couldn't we? Is COVID good or bad? Or all these diseases and things that we face as we walk through this life's journey, are they good or are they evil? He says, I created evil, and the evil that we see in Isaiah that he's talking about, he created is a result of the judgment that God puts in place, and that brings evil. You get up in the morning, and you've got a day off of work. So you get in your air-conditioned car, and you turn that thing on about 68 degrees because it's going to be hot tomorrow. And you set the cruise. I see, I'm going to 40, 75, maybe I could go 78. So you set the cruise on, say, 78. Now you are off, you're not in a hurry, you're not trying to get to work on time. And you'll be bopping on down 40 Highway, and you get a blue light special. Now, does that cause some kind of feeling to come over you? Are you dreading the results of that? You know why you're dreading the results of that? Because there's a law against it. There's judgment against it. And you're suffering the results of it. You see, that's kind of what we're looking at, judgment brings on evil, but God has got to judge sin. Now, if y'all can keep all this in your mind till next Sunday, we'll ease on in the Garden of Eden and look at some things there and look at God's plan and see why he did what he did. God bless you and thank you for listening this morning.